Good morning. Welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Great to have you on the other end of the radio waves and also the telephone line and the email system as well, because your input is always a vital part of the program, regardless of the guest list or whatever issues we happen to be concentrating on. That local number in Tallahassee, of course, 414-1234. It's 800-926-8809. If it's long distance from you to Tallahassee, and Perspectives at WFSU.org is, of course, the email address. Along with our standard radio microphones, we also have TV cameras in the room. This is so the program can also air on our sister broadcast operation for FSU, which is Comcast at Channel 4. And I'll give you the times that it will be rebroadcast on TV so you can see what we look like a little bit later on. This morning's program focuses on the Tallahassee City Commission seat two race. The incumbent is running for re-election, and there are three challengers on the August 14th ballot, and we have two of the challengers here with us this morning. So what we'll do is a little round robin, give everyone a chance to introduce themselves, and if I can have you all be thinking of, say, the top three qualifications or personality traits or however you want to posit it that you think would give you a leg up in this particular race. Okay, so we'll go around the table just in a kind of random fashion because that's the way we all sat down. And we'll start with Mr. Jacob Eaton. It's good to have you, sir. And tell us a little about yourself.
Well, thank you. My name is Jacob Eaton, and I'm running for City Commission seat 2. My main core points is restoring justice, fairness, and transparency in Leon County government, well, Leon, the city of Tallahassee government. I believe that we have some difficulties here in town, and those difficulties are fairness issues. And what I mean by fairness issues are fairness in the contracting process that we have currently, restoring justice. Because it seems like some of our politicians seem like they keep on getting in trouble. And we seem to have problems with even the police department and sometimes people getting locked up for things that they don't necessarily do. Or we've had some, you know, some people even die because of incidences that have occurred. And the transparency issue. I believe all this could be taken care of with the transparency issue. We need to switch from Form 1 to Form 2 for financial disclosures for political officials, because right now it's too hard to see what's going on within our government. I mean, we've had contracting issues. Heck, it's cost money, the city lots of money, as far as with our utilities. And these are problems. These are problems. These are problems that we need government and people that are going to be there all the time, that are going to be there for the citizens of Tallahassee and not national figures. And that's the problem that I think we have right now. Now, the things what I bring to the table is that I've been in this community for 6 years now. And what I've done is I've worked with the Thousand Man Rally. I've gotten myself integrated within this community. I have family here. I've married here. I love the city of Tallahassee. Heck, I like the fishing of Tallahassee even more. That's just a joke. But it's time to make a change. It's time for local leadership for us. And I don't think that we're getting that right now. We're not getting that. We're getting a gentleman that works in D.C., deals with national issues. At the time when the mayor got in trouble for the ADE, he was sitting there in the corner, leaned over, looking like he was half asleep. That's wrong. We need to focus on the issues. We need leadership that's going to challenge what the problems are in this town. Second, I've been in politics for pretty much all my life. I started at the little dining room table with my dad, and we would discuss issues of going on a policy and things like that. So for me, policy is an intuitive thing. Social justice is an intuitive thing. I've participated in lots of social justice issues throughout my life. And this is something I strongly believe in. And three, I can hit the ground running. Because I've been very active in the Leon County Democratic Party. I've been very active in community groups. And when I get a chance, I help out the Bond Clinic and other people in this area. So I understand what the needs are of the people, and I will be willing to listen. And when I make a mistake, I will apologize and move on, because I'm not a career politician. I'm just a normal guy, a regular guy. And I think that's what we need right now, not a superstar. We need a regular guy that's going to deal with regular issues.
The opening salvo from Jacob Eaton here as we look at the Tallahassee City Commission C2 race. Next up, we'll find out a little bit about David Riddle and what he brings to the table. Thanks for coming, Dave.
All right. Thank you for asking me. My wife and I have been residents of this city for 30 years. I came from USP Atlantic, transferred to the FCI, did 20 years there. We lived in the same neighborhood 20, 30 years and didn't have acres. Love it. Love this town. Be willing to go ahead and die here because that's what's going to happen. You're not going to get me out of town. I've got 6 years active duty Army in Europe, 2 college degrees, 1 in psychology from the University of Maryland, and 1 in criminology from Florida State. Experience, I have no experience in politics, but I know what's basically wrong and what's right. And I can't say, honestly, that this city is in all that bad a shape. Now, there's some issues that could have been used a little more prudence when they made the decisions and doing the voting, but it's a good town. I'm proud of Tallahassee. I have no idea as to how to correct the employment issues. The country doesn't have any idea. I mean, what is the deal here? But we do need to take care of the residents of Tallahassee. We need to take care of the citizens. And I'm a baby boomer, and you need to take care of us too. But, you know, we take care of ourselves. That's the way we've always did things. That's all I can say. There's nothing major. I have no major projects in my little pea brain. And that's it.
What you see is what you get.
And that's exactly what it is. I mean, when I go to vote, I'll vote in my conscience and I'll vote the way it should be, not necessarily what some interest group has decided and given a lot of money to get me in office. Because zero campaign. I'm paying for myself. My wife thinks I've lost my mind, but that's all right. She's thought that before. That's it.
The opening from David Riddle, and he is one of 3 challengers for the office of Tallahassee City Commission C2. We also have someone called Nick Haley who's out there. He was unable to join us today. We hope to catch up with him before we start jumping into early voting here before too terribly long. We also have an incumbent in this race, and his name is Andrew Gillum, and he joins us next to a little background and that philosophy we were talking about of governance.
Sure. Yeah. Well, first let me start by saying thank you to you and to WFSU for hosting these forums and giving the Tallahassee listening public the opportunity to learn more about the people who are seeking to lead. I have had the absolute honor and privilege and pleasure of serving the citizens of Tallahassee as their city commissioner for the past 9 years. And what I tell you, most excited about is the amount of progress that this city has experienced in that period of time. Today, I just received an email about a new award recognition that our Tallahassee Regional Airport just received for its environmental efforts. As you know, a couple of weeks ago, we announced that we are the number one public utility in all of the United States. Voted on and elected by other public utilities, over 3,000 around this country. We run the number one parks and recreation system in this city. And I'm pleased to say that I played a role in bringing Tallahassee's first ever teen center and restorative justice center with community connections to the Tallahassee area, where we get to not only provide a safe, fun entertainment outlet for our young teens, but for our young people who do encounter the law. Instead of them being adjudicated before a judge and a court system, they get to sit in front of their neighbors, in front of the neighborhood grandmother, in front of the neighborhood patrol officer, in front of the victim that they offended, and have to give account of what they did and understand the harm that they have caused, not some inanimate state, but the harm that they've caused the community. And that program, when fully implemented and we're able to step back and see the success of it, my guess is we're going to see somewhere near 60 or 70% of a decline in recidivism. And that saves us money. That saves our taxpayers money. I've had the privilege and the pleasure of leading on various economic development issues, one that put $5.6 million into the hands of local businesses here by rebating their down payment for their electric bills back to them so that they could put that money to use immediately and creating jobs for this community. I'm running for re-election because I feel like Tallahassee, with all of the great things that we've got going on, is still at a tipping point of deciding what we want to be when we grow up. Do we want to be a community that invites in with open arms our new designation as a new retirement mecca, if you will, for our retiring baby boomers? We ought to, in my opinion, embrace that and create cultural and arts and sporting events that give them an outlet. Those are disposable income dollars that are coming into our community, and we ought to put ourselves in a place where we can take full advantage of that. We ought to be a community that harnesses the intellect and the energy coming out of Florida State, Florida A&M University, Tallahassee Community College, and many of the trade schools that are located here, where we're not just pouring all of these communities' assets into them and then pushing them away to go to the other communities and do their service. But we want to retain that talent right here in this community, right here in this city. And I've been proud and pleased to play a part in helping to make Tallahassee a more attractive place for all of them. Lastly, when I'm out and talking to people in this community, one of the things that I hear most consistently is their absolute love for our city, for our community, their enthusiasm about Cascades Park, Gaines Street, Midtown, Downtown, and all of the other exciting opportunities that are sitting at our doorstep and are sitting at our doorstep in large part because of the service that we've provided over the last 9 years. I love this community. I'm humbled to serve, and I look forward to today's conversation and dialogue. I appreciate the opportunity.
And we appreciate it, too. You're listening to Perspectives, Tallahassee City Commission C2. We'll be right back. We have really had a good time with the various and sundry candidate forums that we've held here on Perspectives during the past month, focusing on the local races. And we also wanted to extend a little, we're sorry and we wish we could do more to some of the races that we were unable to get to just because of the constraints of time. As you know, between the qualifying period for political office and the start of early voting, it is a very narrow window. So once we get the primary election done and get into the run-up to the general election, which takes place on November 6th, we'll try to give full and complete weight to the other races that we were unable to get to. Today, though, it is Tallahassee City Commission, C2, and we have three of the four contenders for that slot with us this morning. We have Jacob Eaton, David Riddle, both challengers, and incumbent Andrew Gillum. Nick Haley, again, we hope to get up with in a different kind of format before too terribly long. Let's go back around the table, though. Mr. Eaton, you had talked a lot about transparency, trying to make local government more accessible, kind of changing the environment or the atmosphere at City Hall. Specifically, what do you mean by that? Since there have been some allegations, as you even pointed out, of things may not be quite right in some parts of that organization.
Well, first of all contracts, even when they're submitted, need to be online. This information needs to be readily accessible to the media, to the citizens. so people can cross-check this information and find out exactly what's going on. And there are also some things on the national level as far as media, as far as campaign buy-ins and things like that. That's important. But the period of time – and we got to remember this fact. Andrew's been in charge – been in office for 9 years. He's been here for 9 years. So every mistake, every positive thing, we have to hold him accountable to that. Okay, we have to hold the people in office accountable to that. If you've been there and you made a vote that may have been a problem, such as the power plant over here on the south side that they were trying to put in, such as the ADE problem, such as the Honeywell problem, we have to hold people accountable for their actions. I mean, that's the most important thing. I was held accountable for making a mistake. Fine. But other people need to be held accountable too, such as deferred compensation. These are problems. These are – that is an act of hubris. Even when you speak – and this is a political office. We need to speak in clear language, in clear English, not using flowery metaphors and $10 words. We need to use the language of the regular guy. And that's what I'm hearing here, and that's not the case. Economic assistance. He says – Andrew was talking about economic assistance. Okay, and he was talking about giving money back that the people, well, that businesses had already given to the state. So just say you just gave their money back. We don't have to say this grand economic assistance program. You gave their money back that they had. That's all you did. You gave their money back. Now, as far as with the utilities, we talk about how we have the best utilities in the country. We pay a lot of money that goes to our utilities in this area. A lot of our money goes to utilities. In fact, when I go around Tallahassee, that's their number one complaint about how high the utilities are. I've lived in, my God, 4 different states. And I've lived in multiple different municipalities under different power companies and things like that. We pay a high utility rate. We pay an extremely high utility rate. When I'm down in Miami – and my brother tells me for his 3,000-square-foot home that he pays less in utilities than I do, that's a problem. And if we want to talk about any type of economic development, we have to start talking about those issues first. We have to clear away the smoke and mirrors and look at these issues realistically. And I'm not getting that. And a lot of people in Tallahassee don't feel like they're getting that. And that's a problem. And that's a problem that needs to be fixed and can be fixed with this election.
I want to give Andrew Gillum a full chance to respond to that. But before Absolutely. We do, and that's one of the disadvantages sometimes of being an incumbent is that you kind of have to get into a defensive posture yeah. because everything's coming at you. But David Riddle, you have some ideas along that too. You're running as an outsider. You're kind of bringing, as you said at the beginning, kind of the common touch or the everyday person to the city hall. What would you do?
I've been looking at the issues with the mayor. We all make mistakes. Believe me, I did 20 years in the Department of Justice, Bureau of Prisons. There ain't no person on this earth that hadn't made a mistake. And I really don't believe, other than he needs to fess up to any issues, deal with it, clear the deck, and move on. There's no need for this cloud being over the city of Tallahassee. It's a good city, good people in it. They can be very divisive in the politicians in the way they act. There's no need in that. Just come up and be the truth. Andrew, the only thing I really and honestly, and I'll be honest with you, my wife said, of all people run against, he's good looking, he's a GQ man. You know, and that's the bottom line. You know, you're the last of the old fart, pardon the expression. And it's true. But the issue is, I don't think Andrew's honest enough to tell us that he works in D.C. And that's where his real job is. I know he lives here. I went online and I was trying to figure out who he worked for, and then I found out who he worked for. And I said, he's never mentioned that. And I had to go dig it. And I'm not a computer nut. I just know how to do Google and this kind of stuff. And you find out things, and that's the only issue that I can say about the man. And if he's up and honest with that, besides that, I think it'd be good to have a baby boomer as a commissioner, you know? And I think I'd do the same kind of job, maybe not as eloquent, but I'd get the job done. I worked many hours, 40-hour week, and we all had to do it. So that's all I've got to say on that issue.
Okay, that's great. Mr. Gilman, you got a lot to talk about here.
Well, I mean, I think first I want to say to Mr. Riddle, I have a tremendous amount of respect for you. And I will level with you just as I have leveled with the citizens of this community ever since I arrived here in 1998 to attend Florida A&M University. I live, work, play, and otherwise here in the city of Tallahassee. I work for an organization that has a national presence. There's absolutely no doubt about that. You could Google that. That's never been a secret. I head the leadership programs of People for the American Way Foundation, and I preside over a staff and an office located right here in Tallahassee, and a staff of full-time staff and volunteers that reach 9 individuals who themselves have families. They pay their taxes here. They live here. While our work is national, and by no means am I ashamed of that, I have worked very, very hard to establish an honest career. The work that we do, I think, is incredibly important for the future of this country by investing in next generation leaders. And so I want to be clear that, yes, the organization I work for has a national presence headquartered in Washington, D.C., but I would argue any entity, whether it's you know, a major law firm here, or whether it's Walmart, which is based in a different state. I mean, there are plenty of people who hold jobs where their national headquarters is not located here in Tallahassee, and I don't think that's a bad thing. To the issues raised earlier around the utilities and what we did with the rebate. You know, I'll just say, you know, we're all entitled to our own opinions, but we are not entitled to our own facts. And the facts are that the city of Tallahassee utility rates, when compared with similar sized cities or all utilities, public and private throughout the state, we rank right dead in the center. In fact, if you looked at our fuel costs that have been passed on to customers over the last year, we've been running under the pack. Our base rate is at the median of the state. And I think the people here in Tallahassee appreciate the fact that they have access to their own utilities. Our ability to rebate commercial deposits to local business owners is absolutely unique. The industry standard for commercial utility deposits for private and public institutions is to hold that money in abeyance. And the reason and not to return it. Once you make that deposit, you get it back once your business closed down. And that was our policy as well. And the reason why they do that is to securitize themselves. If a business goes out of – if a big Walmart goes out of business here, one day they shut their doors, we bill our utility customers in the rear. So they will have at least 30 days of utility consumption that they have not paid for. And if they walk away from that obligation, it's the regular ratepayers, me and my home, the people who are listening to this station right now in their homes, who would have to cover that loss. So we had to come up with a system that would give us some degree of protection against that kind of a scenario. But I said, well, why don't we in this tough economic times, I realize what the industry standard is. But if a commercial customer has demonstrated good discipline and usage of having paid their utilities in the past, why wouldn't we give them the same rebate that we offer to our residential customers and give that money back? And that's what this commission decided in its wisdom that it would do. Also owning our own electric utility allows us to do programs like we have offered of late and have been nationally recognized for, to include going in and conducting energy audits, low interest loans for water heaters, retrofitting of some of the older homes in our communities that are not as well insulated, and their utility bills per their square footage is out of whack because the home that they live in is so much older and therefore doesn't retain cool or heat well. We've been able to go out into the community through the REACH program and help hundreds of people throughout this city. That's what a your own utility gets to accomplish when, in a city like ours, the customers own and operate their own electric utility system. Now, if the question is, how do we get to diversity in our utility system, which I think is the more proper question, we've debated this question of building a coal fire plant. We debated this question of building, using some of the newer technology around achieving electric utility power. And what this community has decided on time after time after time in votes, expressing their will, is that they don't want coal energy brought into this community. They want a clean utility. And so we had to make the decision of how do we achieve a clean utility at the same time as trying to control costs so that our regular customers, our regular ratepayers, still can pay their bills from month to month. We've set up assistance programs, but we had to deal with the long-term trajectory. And one way that we decided to do that is trying to be more energy efficient and sustainable, both in our residential homes and our commercial buildings and in the power that we supply to our residential customers. And I think we're better for it. I think our customers would tell us that our community is better for it, that the utility is better for the range of programs that they offer, which are all intended to be an improvement and more accessible for the end user. And that's the everyday citizen here in Tallahassee. So I stand by that record. It's a strong one. It's one we should be proud of. It's one that earned us a national recognition as the number one public utility in all of America.
Well, so much for utilities, but not to put words back in Mr. Eaton's mouth here, but there has been a certain pervasive atmosphere, if you will, at City Hall regarding such controversial issues as deferred comp, which ultimately got worked out. You also have some negative publicity surrounding Mayor John Marks and some of the things over there.
Which he hasn't given the money back from deferred comp either.
So, again, you have entitlement to your opinions but not facts. And the truth is that after we ended the deferred compensation program, we asked the federal government, we asked our city treasurer clerk, we asked every expert we could get our hands on around the policy of how, if we wanted to, make a contribution of our deferred compensation back to the city, could we do that? And what we have been told repeatedly, this is law, not my opinion, not what this individual may want or that individual may want. Have been told that we can access that money at the point that we retire or separate from the institution. I don't have plans for retiring, hopefully for another 30, 40 years. To deal with the larger issue of some of the, I would say, less impressive moments of this commission, and there have been some less impressive moments of this commission. The truth is that we all make mistakes. We all make decisions that when we look back on them, we say we wish we had done or acted or felt differently at the time. But what I could tell you about myself and I think about my colleagues is that when they wake up every day to commit themselves and recommit themselves to public service, I think they show up with the intention of trying to act and do what is in the best interest of everyday Tallahasseans. We live here just like everybody else. We've built our reputations here just like everybody else, and nobody wants to have that blemish put on them in some seedy and unfortunate way. And so this idea that somehow City Hall is under a defensive cloud, we are at the moment because of what we're dealing with in the mayor situation. And you know what? Through due process, I think we'll come through that and we'll come through that fine and even a stronger organization. But as an individual, a person who was raised by my grandmother and taken to church probably every day of the week because of her strong fidelity to that, And being instilled and raised in a household where your word is all you have, where your reputation is all you have, and you've got parents, my dad who was a construction worker and my mother a school bus driver who instilled in me the idea that you have to work hard. And not only do you have to do good at these things, but you've got to be good and give something back. I hold it very, very close and important to me, my reputation. And I think for the majority of Tallahasseans, if they were to judge me by my work and by my word, that they would be satisfied, that they are pleased by that. And on August 14th, we'll know whether or not that's the case.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gilman. Mr. Eaton, I got a question for you here. And this relates to some of what you had said at the outset regarding your past experience and all that. The City Commission is a nonpartisan body. You have been very, very strongly identified with the local Democratic Party. And there's been some concern voiced, I think, that, well, gee, would you kind of defer more to the party than to the citizenry should you get into this position? Would you just take the D line straight down the tube or what?
Well, as far as being identified with the party, yes, I've done a lot of work in the party. That's true. But as far as taking the D line straight down the path, that's not going to happen. I have to deal with local issues. And local issues don't have a D or R next to it. You know, when it comes to dealing with the police department, when it comes to dealing with the, you know, transportation issues, when it comes to dealing with all these issues, there's no D or R. It's just what's going to work for the citizens of Tallahassee. That's it. I mean, you know, there are other people here that are, you know, in higher levels in the party than I am at sitting at this table. And I wouldn't say that he takes a partisan route in that, and nor do I. Nor do I. In fact, I'm probably one of the people in the, you know, trying to hold the party's feet to the fire about a lot of things, about things that are of transparency and justice issues. I think we have some problems with that within the party. But I want to get back to Andrew again.
Tom, okay. With all due respect, I think and out of recognition of the very smart listenership that this station has, I definitely think that we owe it to them in our last final minutes to begin to talk about some of the real issues that they're concerned about.
And we'll do that in just a moment. We have one more break to go, and we'll be right back here on Perspectives as we focus on the Tallahassee City Commission C2 contest. City Commission C2 contest on Perspectives. 414-1234, 800-926-8809. If you have something to chime in on, perspectives@wfsu.org is the email address. Mr. David Riddle, your thoughts here on, again, I think bringing that real common touch to a position which can be very, very complicated when you're dealing with the interaction between city and county. You have legal issues. You've got all kinds of things, revenue restrictions. I'm thinking now changes coming down from the federal government, the health care, and all of that kind of thing. And wading into that, you ready to tackle all that stuff?
Well, first let me comment on Andrew's. I don't think you have a monopoly on honesty and poor folks and that kind
of
stuff.
Of course not.
My mother was a waitress. My father was a house painter. Integrity is important, and I believe that it is important with you. It's most important to me. Your word's your bond. You know, if you can't shake hands and not drop 25 contracts to, and then who are your word's your bond? That's just where I'm coming from. I'm a little disappointed that these issues keep coming up, and I think we do have some minor issues. There's no doubt about it. And I don't think they're all going to go to jail and this and that and another. When it comes to county, city government, all you have to do is go out there to Walmart on the parkway at 5 o'clock and watch everyone go out of the city that lives in the county. They work in the city, live in the county. They spend their money here, but they pay their taxes in the county. They don't pay city taxes. And there's something wrong with that system? I hate to say it, but I think consolidated government would probably cure it. I know it would the law enforcement. We don't need a city police force and a sheriff's office and their butting heads all the time. And it's a turf war. I think consolidation government would be great for this city. It'd be easier for the city because everybody else didn't even get in the pot. We're doing everything for the city. City residents are paying for the city, and they're hauling out town come 5 o'clock, living in their homes, and I hate to say it, there's some city employees doing it. You know, if you live within the city, you should live. If you work for the city, you should live in the city, and a lot of them are not doing it, including pretty high people in the administration. And I see it. I got friends that say, you look, who lives over here? I said, well, okay. They don't live in the city. No. Taking city vehicles home with them. And there's some issues there. So I don't know. I wished I had all the answers. I really don't know. But I'd really like to be the first baby boomer commissioner. And that's where I'm coming from.
We have about 12, 13 minutes here to go. And I want to revisit that whole idea of just having an issues-oriented question for someone else at this table. Mr. Gilman, can I start with you? Any question that you would have for any of the other participants here?
Yeah. I mean, I would pose, to both of my colleagues in this race, what about the city do you like? And what would you with that thing that you like about this city and its citizens, as a commissioner, how would you take advantage of that, exploit that in a way that I think brings honor, maybe business, maybe future development to the citizens in the city of Tallahassee?
Okay, who wants to take a stab at that?
I'll take a stab.
Yeah, okay.
Well, what I like about the city is that the fact you have two universities and a community college here in town. I like the green spaces. I'm a fisherman, so I enjoy the environment of this city. Now, and also with the universities, we can have an explosion in economic development. We're sitting over here in Research Park right now. And Andrew talks about how we need to have economic development. And I know the authority for this research park has been asking the city to do some upgrades on some telephone poles so that they can put in broadband. And it's been not 1 month, not 2 months, not 3 months, not four, but going on 9 months, and they still haven't gotten the money. So I think it's disingenuous to sit here and talk about economic development when we don't do a simple thing like some telephone poles in order to handle that. Now, what I would like to do as far as for economic development, we have lots of universities here in town, and there's a great sucking sound every time there's a graduation where these students are leaving in droves. They're leaving in droves because the utilities are high. In fact, I know a lot of people that moved all the way down to Wakulla to escape Tallahassee utilities. And I think a lot of listeners here know people that do everything to escape city utilities. So it's irrelevant to me that someone says that, oh, we're the best utility in the country when people's utilities still hurt them. Now, we have a problem with the utilities. We have the state pays a different rate than the average person, a regular person. The large business owners pay a different rate than the regular person that owns the utilities. That's unfair. And I wouldn't want to address that.
Okay.
And I would like to take it. I'm sorry, I'm taking too much time.
just not a super positive thing that you would work on in that regard. How about you, Mr. Riddle? What would you in response to Mr. Gilman's question?
Again, I don't see what's going on here that Jacob's mentioning. We've been here 30 years. We lived in the same house 30 years. Indian Head Acres. We love it. It's our little sanctuary. Utilities are utilities. I went to a meeting with the city manager and all her staff, and the guy swore up and down that Head's Utilities is the cheapest in the country. Well, I have to believe the man. I'm not going to call him a liar. And I met most of the executive staff and the city managers, and you know, a couple of them I knew long before. I just think the issues that's going on here, they're sort of tearing this little town apart. And it's still a little town in my mind. I used to be to get to work in 5 minutes. Used to go down Park Avenue, and I'd be there to join. My wife, she goes to the hospital, got Magnolia. She's an RN. Well, those days are gone, and we know that. But I just don't see this doom and gloom everywhere. I think competition's good. Different opinions are good. I know I've probably got a lot more different opinions, Andrew and Jacob, because I've been around long enough. I've seen the Berlin Wall go down. I watched it. I did a lot of other things that, you know, but I just don't see it. I'm sorry. I think the city of Tallahassee needs choices, and I'm a choice. I've been around a while. That's all I can say.
Do you have any question for either of these?
No, I, you know, I read the Democrat, and I know Jacob, and I think I'm getting to know Andrew pretty good. I never met him before, and I can't throw any stones or anything at anyone. But I just think we maybe need a choice in Tallahassee. And I hopefully the city residents understand that. I'll give them a choice.
Okay. An issues-oriented question, Mr. Eaton, for either of these folks.
Well, I think we pretty much covered it. One thing I would ask for Andrew is, how often are you out of town in the city of Tallahassee? That's what I would ask. How often do you spend out the time in the course of a year? How often do you spend in Washington, D.C. or off on the road or other places on your other business, not city business?
Well, I realize where Mr. Eaton is going, and I choose not to follow that path. What I would say is the citizens of Tallahassee can judge me by my record. If the suggestion is that I don't spend enough time here, which is ridiculous given that this is my home, this is where I pay my bills and my mortgage, this is where my church, my wife and I attend church, this is where we do our volunteering, this is where my mentee lives, this is where I plan to continue to branch out and build my career, and where my wife and I plan to continue to practice for a family and then raise that family right here in Tallahassee. And when I say judge me by my record, and a person not on the job wouldn't have the ability to pull together a cross-section of leaders in this community to bring the Digital Harmony program to NIMS Middle School, where for 3 years we supplied computers, internet access, and educational software to those students to improve their educational learning outcomes. A commissioner who wasn't here or didn't have time wouldn't be able to bring together a cross-section of this community to, for several months, almost a year, bring together similar interests who brought Tallahassee its first teen center and recreated its Restorative Justice Community Connectors program. Wouldn't have time to come up with a summer splash and jam, and summer jobs for our young people in order to keep them out of trouble and focused on the straight and narrow. I wouldn't have time to speak at the number of churches and schools and civic events of which I'm not complaining about. I love that fact. I get my energy on the commission from being with the people who put me there. I get the ideas. The idea around the rebate, the permitting guarantee that I'm working on right now, all came from sitting down with residents of this community who love it and who care about it and who want the best for it and offered ideas that they wanted me as their elected official to then carry forward. That is in part my job. As I don't have the monopoly on the best of ideas, that it requires all of us in this community working together to make Tallahassee the place that we all want it to be. And I have the highest ambition and hope that the leadership, the people that these citizens, our citizens, choose to send to Tallahassee are going to be people who love it, who want the best for it, who will work every day to achieve the best of it, because this is a job for serious people. This is a job for serious issues. This is a job for people who love and care about this city enough to give it its absolute best. And anyone who comes less than that, I would say, are half-stepping and should remove themselves from the arena. I have tried to be incredibly considerate and thoughtful in this process and making sure that every idea, every point that's brought to the table is real and it's validated and it comes from somewhere. But when it comes to my record, I think I have put enough out there for the citizens to measure me from the day that I came onto the commission to this point right now where I'm asking them to send me back and make a judgment about whether or not I have acted, been available, and acted in the best interest of the citizens of this community. And I think that they would agree that I have.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can get in a telephone call here on Perspectives. Deborah's on the line. Hi, Deborah.
Yes, hi. I just had, a comment and then maybe a question or so. I was getting a little hot under the collar, actually, listening to the incumbent. Because it sounded to me on a couple of issues as though, number one, it sounded, whether this is the case or not, as though he was defending Mayor John Marks. And I believe he referenced to, you know, we all make mistakes. Personally, I think someone who's an attorney that has been accused and charged with some of the ethical issues that he has been would know better than that. So I think that's a matter of character. It's not simply a mistake. And then, you know, there's been stuff out there a long time, or at least since I've been up here, you know, about Mayor Marks. And then on to the next issue that was addressed earlier, which I appreciated Mr. Eaton speaking to, is about the utilities here. I'm originally from Tallahassee, lived in Central Florida for 20 years. The utilities here are at least 2 to 3 times higher than they are in the Central Florida area where I lived. And I think, I think Mr. Eaton used the word disingenuous. When I listen to the incumbent, he sounds very smooth. He's very well spoken. He's very articulate. But I don't hear any substance. I don't hear anything about making real changes that matter. I don't hear anything about, like, creating a citizens, you know, a citizens utility committee. Or commission, so that, and also allowing citizens to speak at the city citizens utility committee meetings. I hear a lot of style. I don't hear anything that speaks to any change and any like real acknowledgement of the issues with the utilities and the ethics issues with our city commission. And one more question. I do have a question for the incumbent. Is he aware of any direction from the city attorney to the Tallahassee Police Department regarding the enforcement of the noise ordinances? I live over in the Indian Head Acres area as well, and my windows in my home shake from the cars that drive up and down Magnolia, and my dogs bark in my house, and my head hurts because cars drive by with their music so loud that it's literally makes you vibrate within your own skin. Okay. And I'd like to hear what the incumbent has to say to that.
Okay, thank you very much, Deborah. Mr. Gill, any response?
Yeah, sure. So on the noise ordinance piece, we actually don't have a citywide noise ordinance. I think it was written about in the paper that the commission is right now evaluating that process. There is there's a general ordinance around sort of disturbances, but we don't have decibel levels that we track. And the city commission and its target issue around long-range planning is planning to bring forward a recommendation for the city commission to address that. To the question of – to my comment earlier, and I apologize if it got jumbled – when I was discussing that we make mistakes, I was speaking only for myself. I can't speak for the mayor's situation. All I can say about that is, like any other American, he's entitled to due process. And that process is working itself out. I believe I read in the paper the other day that the mayor is now going to take his case to an administrative law judge. And I assume
there,
that it will
there you
be.
Go again, Andrew. You're being disingenuous. You're being disingenuous. You have defended the mayor. You have worked in the mayor's office. He was one of the people that helped you even get into office. You're being disingenuous.
That's not true.
You defend him. You vote along with him almost 99% of the time. You're being disingenuous. Then you come here and you say to us that you've been on the commission for 9 years. You've only gave us three projects. Three projects for 9 years on the board?
Just when things are starting to light up we're right into the end of the program.
Yeah.
We should continue this for another hour, and I really wish we could. But, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, just Mr. Eaton's statement around my defense of the mayor, what I have defended, as I would if he were my colleague on the commission, is his ability to a full due process. And with regard to how the commissioners vote, all of us vote about 99% of the time together because most of our items are consent items.
Andrew, we'll have to leave it right there. Thank you to all, to Andrew Gillum, to Jacob Eaton, and to David Riddle for coming in on Perspectives today, which is also being broadcast on 4FSU. That's Comcast Channel 4. We'll catch you next time right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.